Welcome to PaintEd. PCA provides painting contractors with connections they need to grow their business. To find out more and to become a member, visit pcapainted.org. Find more great content like this on PCA Overdrive. A subscription to the platform is included with membership. For all of you non-members out there, sign up for a free trial. PCA Overdrive is available on the App Store and Google Play. This episode is brought to you by Nice Job, Painter Marketing Pros, and APC.
Welcome back to another episode of the Elite Business Advice Podcast. My name is Chris Baum, the founder of Elite Business Advisors and your host for the podcast. We get a lot of questions about when should we hire blank, whether it's a project manager, an estimator, an office person, another painter, a crew leader, whatever. And so we wanted to kind of address that on an episode here is we're starting to plan out our next kind of quarter of podcast guests and interviews and content and whatnot. Now the PCA is over and behind us, and we kind of focus ahead here on the podcast and getting some stuff lined up and some great content lined up for you guys. So a lot more good stuff coming here in the next couple of months as we kind of get reorganized on that. But I wanted to take some time in this episode and walk through what is the typical, if you will, growth journey of a painting company from zero employees to, we'll just call it $1 million roughly, and then shortly after that. Let me be clear. You probably already know what I'm going to say if you've listened to our show more than about five times. There's no exact business model, strategy, way to do this. It's different for every single person. We've worked with hundreds of painting contractors all over the country over the years, and none of them have taken the same typical path, right? Because everything's different. Rate of growth, how fast they've grown, how big they've grown, the overhead, what they have to pay themselves. There's so many variables that go into this. But just to give some ideas and some insight to answer some of these questions on, like, when should we be thinking about this? What is the again, I say typical in air quotes, what is the typical path look like for something like this? And really the other biggest thing I want to hit on with this is, what are the benchmarks to kind of look at for your growth and where you're at and when you should think about this and what you should think about, you know, when to hire another painter, just give you some benchmarks and some guidelines on what to do and when you should make those decisions. So I hope this helps. Thank you guys for plugging in. As always, this is the Elite Business Advice Podcast. All right. So let's talk about the journey of a painting company. For most of you guys listening to this, as I share at Sherwin-Williams, there's two paths into the painting industry. There's a painter turned business owner, and then there's a business owner that learns the craft, or in some cases, like my good friend Brad Ellison, maybe just jumps straight into business and absolutely freaking crushes it. And Brad, I love you. You're amazing. But you were also the unicorn to the industry, I think a lot of people realize. So as we talk through this, right, all of us started somewhere on our journey. I'll never forget. It's crazy that we're coming up on 6 years of when Elite Business Advisors started. And actually, I just realized that was last week. 6 years since we started Elite Business Advisors. Right? I remember being alone and on this journey myself, right? Figuring out, how do we grow? When do we grow? When do we hire this? How do we do this, right? So I want to go through everything from a solopreneur, if you will. We've done some episodes on that before, all the way to $1 million company here, and just kind of real quick highlight some of the things and kind of the thinking behind it. And so typically, if you're by yourself, you're going to produce anywhere from $100,000 to $150,000 a year on average, depending on your rate of speed, right? An average painter, again, kind of ballpark industry average, $110,000 a year, $110,000 a year for an average painter, right? So if you're by yourself, you should be doing at least 100,000, if not closer to 150 if you're efficient and have enough work sold. The golden question then is, like, when do you start hiring employees, right? You know, hiring employees typically comes, you know, it will take your business from say 150 to, you know, all the way up to 350, 400 before we start getting into kind of another tough spot, right? We've got an episode planned down the road for, like, the ladders in business, right? Because there's going to be points where maybe you hit a spot and you make a hire and you've got a tough decision to make, right? Do we keep growing or do we camp where we're at? Because the next short run, and we're not going to make any more money. The good news is, when you hire employees, typically you're making more money right off the bat when you go from zero employees to one, two, or three. And so for us, the golden rule of when to hire employees is, you should hire employees when you have about 6 to 8 weeks worth of work consistently at your current production capacity is the best time to hire an employee, because it gives you time to train them. You don't eat up all of your work, and then you still have time to go start stacking work on the back end of it again. And then when you build that back up to 6 to 8 weeks, then you make another hire. That's a pretty good blanket statement across the industry. There's some markets that's like really tough to get homeowners to wait for more than 4 weeks to do work. That might be a different story. There's some unique cases, but for res repaint, 6 to 8 weeks is a great spot, because people may be willing to wait 8 weeks unless they're on a really tight timeline or they waited too long themselves. But you start getting past 8 weeks and that's really hard to sell. You're right. You're going to start losing out on work. So that's a good balance, 6 to 8 weeks. If you're by yourself, you have 8 weeks. I think that's a great target. Then at least when you hire someone, you're down to like 4 to 5 weeks out immediately. Again, you still have some time to train them and start working through that, right? So you're going to do that. You're going to run that cycle, 6 to 8 weeks, build the backlog, you know, hire somebody, build the backlog back up to about 6 to 8 weeks, hire another person, right? At some point, you're going to get to a spot where it's you and two painters. You and two painters, again, I'm going to ballpark here, $300,000, $350,000 a year. You're at a great spot. Really, the next piece of this, and this is where you start getting some time freedom, is you wanna hire a third painter. I like crews of three. It seems to work really well. I know some people do two, some people do four. Take your average job size, you know, and efficiency into it. But 2 to 3 is a really good, you know, efficient crew, unless your job sizes are averaging north of $5,000-$6,000 a piece. When you hire the next person, you're doing two things. One, you're replacing yourself, because now you got a crew of three people, not including yourself. And then you need to start developing crew leads. You should start focusing on crew leads. We did a whole episode on that last year. I think it was season 3, episode 15, 16, somewhere in there. The whole goal is to build crew leads, right? So you should start developing that, looking for that person from day one, whether it's your first hire, your second hire, maybe you're hiring a crew lead for your third employee, whatever that is. The goal is to have a crew of three, and then you're the extra person that can hop in. Or you can go do some small projects, right? At this point, you can get off the job site quite a bit. You can start doing estimates. You start focusing on your business even more. This next step is arguably one of the hardest spots to be at. And that's when you venture to two crews. If you're at one crew right now, you got three painters, maybe four painters, you got one crew running. Making the decision for that next step's hard. This is your first decision point as an entrepreneur of, do we grow? Do we stay? Right? Because growing and adding a fourth painter and beginning to have a second crew, that's really, again, the hard part here. It's not the number of painters, it's the having a second crew, two jobs running at one time, requires a lot of systems, requires a lot of effort, requires some organization on your part, requires some delegation and depending on people at a much higher level, right? You have less control over things. And so I say that to say, don't grow for growth's sake. We've seen people, you know, one of our big core philosophies and how we advise is we want your business to serve your life. And we've seen some people that have three or four painters, one crew for the most part, maybe they'll split off on like a small project here and there, but for the most part, everybody's together. They'll have a decent revenue. They're extremely profitable. Organic growth just continues to propel them. And they can make a pretty good living without a lot of stress and a ton of hours. Maybe they want to spend it with their family, they want to travel, they want to, you know, give back to the community, whatever they want to do, right? We've seen instances where three or four painters can yield that for an entrepreneur if things are really humming well, efficient, profitable. It's a great situation to be at, right? The question you always got to ask is, why are we growing? Are we growing because we want to bless more homeowners, because we want to help more individuals with a great place to work, because we want to make more money, or we need to make more money to eventually buy our time back or to do more things, right? Whatever it is, there's no wrong answer on why you want to grow, but you need to make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. So this is the decision point, right? Because you're going to hire a fourth painter. Let's just say you got three plus you. You're about to hire a fourth painter. How do you orchestrate four if you're used to a crew of three, right? You don't just throw the fourth one on there if it's inefficient. So now it's you take the new person or one of your people and you start the second crew, right? And this is where you need some systems. This is where you need the things to stay organized. This is usually the spot where everybody's like, I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off. But we got to get organized with it, right? Sometimes you got to jump into it and figure it out. That's okay. But typically, you know, you're going to lead crew number two. Take one person with you, whether it's a new person or one of your experienced people, Or, I mean, if you have two crew leads out of the four, you can have two crews of two and then start adding from there, right? Eventually you'll add painter five and painter six into the mix. From there becomes another decision point, right? You can get to a spot where you got six painters, two crews, you got the right crew leads in place. Again, refer back to the five levels of a crew leader episode. Things can move pretty well for you. Typically around this time, let's just call it 500,000 in revenue, you know, four to six painters, depending on where you fall out here. And the biggest thing being, what do your finances look like, right? Know your numbers, look at what your monthly net profit is every month with the jobs you're producing, not including your deposits, and figure out, you know, can we hire an office person? Maybe it's 10 to 15 hours a week, 20 hours a week starting out, right? Maybe it's something pretty small and it's somebody that's part-time that maybe works into full-time down the road. Or again, you have all your systems and efficiencies and automations in place that 20 hours a week is all you need for a while. But typically this is the point where your time starts, you know, growing a lot that you need an office person, right? If you're doing 600 grand a year, that means you have a lot more leads coming in than when you had 300. Who's answering the phone? Who's scheduling the estimates? Who's, you know, diving through the qualifying questions, right? Who's handling all that, right? Again, 500,000 ballpark is a good time to start thinking about that. Maybe you look at a virtual assistant. You know, we have a lot of clients, a lot of people utilizing virtual assistants. There's nothing wrong with that, right? It's really a win-win. I love it because from a profitability point for business owners, it, you know, is relatively inexpensive. But for the people you're employing, that money like is a potentially a life changer for them in some cases, right? Depending on the situation, the company, whatever you do. There's a couple different ones I've heard of. I think Remote Latinos, I think was one that just was posted in our Slack channel with our clients the other day that some people have utilized. I know Jill's Office is a newer one. A few people are testing out that's more of a call service, not a virtual assistant thing. So there's a handful of different ways. Post in one of the Facebook groups for painters, get some insight on what people are using, experiences and stuff. But either way, you typically are going to want to start having some office and admin help, even if it's easy tasks with phone calls, scheduling, maybe you're still handling the invoicing and all the confidential sensitive stuff or anything like that. But a lot of times you're going to start needing some help at this point. Which leads me to, you have six painters now, two crews of three in a perfect world with two crew leads on each one. Now what? Now is when the decisions go from, okay, we are, you know, going from three painters to four, one crew to two. It just takes a lot more mental capacity, energy, and structure and systems on your part. And hopefully at this point, adding a third crew is to some degree copy and paste because you have the systems figured out for running two crews and how to orchestrate, delegate, you know, have everything translated from the estimate over to the project management of your crew leads or whatever. But now is when you make the decision, kind of that first step, if you will. The office person can be a small one, but the first step, let's say you guys are at just on average, six painters, $700,000 in revenue. And again, I just feel the need to clarify, this is just averages, right? Kind of what we see a lot. This isn't right, wrong, or indifferent. If you're six painters and you're producing 400,000 a year, we probably need to talk about your pricing. But for the most part, just run with the analogy here. So six painters, 700 grand. At this point, you're going to maybe start looking at a third crew. Again, if that suits what the purpose of your business is, what your goals are, what your financial goals are. Now you're going to run three job sites, right? You got more painters in the mix, which means more bids you have to do, which means more leads coming in, right? All the things we just talked about. Typically, this is the hire that you really have to make a big decision for your business. And you have to figure out, like, are you growing for the right reason? Because you're going to bring on, typically around this point, between 700,000 or a million. I've seen some people manage three crews because they have great crew leads. I think that's a huge thing. If you have the right crew leads and you focus on developing them, it makes your life for project management so much easier. Again, refer back to that other episode. We've seen people do nine painters and a million before having this hire, but somewhere in this range, between six painters, 700 grand a year, and nine painters, a million a year, you're going to start looking to hire your first full-time overhead position with a project manager or an estimator. And in doing so, you need to understand you're not going to make any more money for about the first $100,000 in growth when you hire this position. So let's say you're at 700 grand, you got six painters, you hire a project manager. until you get up above 800,000, assuming you're hiring a seventh painter, eighth painter, whatever, 800, 850,000, you're not going to make any more money, right? And this is why this is a pivotal decision to make, because if you're at 600 grand, you're probably pretty profitable. You don't have any overhead, 600, 700 grand, or your overhead's smaller. But when you hire that person, now you're like, okay, I'm committing to grow to a million at that point. Or if you're at a million, you're committing to grow to 1.25 because you have to, right? Because you're not making any more money until you hit kind of the next level beyond that person, if that makes sense. And so how do you handle this, right? Who do you hire? What's the decision? Here's the two lenses I look through. Number one, use your strengths and what you're good at and what you enjoy doing. For most business owners, most painting contractor business owners, they typically are good at estimating. They enjoy the sales piece. They enjoy running that side of the business, and the project management's where they need to delegate because it sucks up a lot of the time, right? Again, depending on your crew lead levels. But for some people, they aren't good at estimating. They aren't good at sales, and they're so good at job site project management efficiencies, running crews, that it makes sense for them to actually hire an estimator. Right? Doesn't matter. There's no right or wrong answer. It's really just, that's the first thing you got to look at. What are you really good at? What do you enjoy? And then what makes sense to hire from there? The other thing you need to think of when you're hiring this position is, are you hiring a who? Are you hiring a how? And what I mean by that is, there's a book by Dan Sullivan called Who Not How. It's one of my favorite books, super influential when it comes to hiring and people. And you need to understand, for this position, are you hiring a who? And what I mean by a who is somebody that possesses the strengths, the skill sets, and what's needed to help create the system, the structure, and the things needed to succeed at this role. Or are you hiring a how, which is someone that you're going to have to train after you've put the systems and put everything in place, right? So like, let's say you've got your estimating really tidied up as you're growing, right? You got your estimating number system, you got your production rates, you're doing estimates on the spot, like everything's detailed out. You really just need to teach somebody how to follow the system and the process you have laid out, and they can be successful. Then you can hire a how type person, right? That maybe doesn't have a lot of experience, but you can train them on the system and everything you've put into place over the years. Or maybe you're like some people where, again, you've got that for estimating. You love estimating, so you want to hire a project manager because that's your weakness. And you're not good at it. And so you need to hire a who that can come in and kind of build out some of the systems and the structure and the things you need, because it's not your strong suit, right? Typically, when you hire for a position that's not your strong suit, you need somebody that's a little bit more entrepreneurial, forward thinking, that isn't afraid to come in and create some stuff, not just absorb whatever it is you're doing, right? Because then you're just setting them up for failure. And then where I'm going to kind of wrap this piece of the journey up, typically after that, you know, you're going to continue growing after about another $250,000 in revenue, whatever that is, you may look at hiring the opposite, right? So if you hire a project manager at 700 to grow to a million, 1.2, then you might look at an estimator to replace yourself. You know, maybe you're at 1.5, and in between your office person, your estimator, your project manager, they can sell and manage 1.5. And then from there, again, start more challenges, more decisions you have to make, right? But at that point, you're buying your time back. You know, we talk about a B-type business system from Robert Kiyosaki's book, Cashflow Quadrant, about what happens if you go on vacation, what happens if you get hurt, what happens if you take a month off, whatever the reason is, what happens to your business? Well, when you have an office person and a project manager, business can happen still, but the estimating suffers. You don't get a lot of new sales in. And there's ways around it, but for the most part, that's the situation, right? When you have an estimator, a project manager, and an office manager, office admin, office coordinator, your business can kind of run without you on the day-to-day basis. So keep that in mind. I think a couple other things I just want to hit on real quick as we wrap up. There's kind of a couple of things that can change this path I just laid out. Number one, what are your growth goals and timing? What I just laid out is kind of for a business that wants to steady organic growth, grow to $1 million, say 5 to 7 years, right? You know, add a painter or two every year, just keep growing, keep working on your systems, keep getting efficient, keep making sure you're profitable, slow, steady growth. You're building up cash over time. For businesses that have grown, we've seen some clients go 0 to 1 million in three years, some people less. That's going to change a little bit, right? You might hire an office person a little bit sooner because you're expecting to grow, you know, double between year one and year two, right? And then right and then, bam, you're hiring your project manager because you're expecting to double again, right? So there isn't a typical path, as I've said, but the goals and how quickly you're growing play a role in when some of these hires happen and how you need to handle this stuff, right? There's a lot more strategy involved when you're growing at a very quick rate. And then the other thing that changes this, if you're a partnership, changes everything, right? It puts a lot more pressure on up front when you're growing the company in the initial days, right? Because you have two owners with two salaries and two sets of distributions, right? You got a lot more overhead to cover when you have two owners. So it puts a lot more pressure on to get to that 6 to 10 painter mark sooner rather than later. And really the best way to look at that is Tom Heiler said it in our one of our episodes early on one of our first two episodes with him and Sean, was have a division of labor. You know, typically in this case, one of the partners is the estimator, one of the partners is the project manager. And guess what? Yeah, you'll hire the office person and you'll get up to close to 1.5-ish that one of you guys can sell and one can manage, right? And then again, the decisions happen from there. So typically in that case, you're not gonna hire an overhead position outside of your office person until you're 1.5. You know, if you're hiring it at 1, you know, we got to make sure you're super, super profitable, finances look good, or you're expecting some really big growth coming down the roll. And then it can be a tricky question on like, you know, do we hire an estimator? Do we hire a project manager? Do we hire a hybrid role that can sell and produce? Like, there's so many different ways to go about that, which is a totally different kind of dynamic, you know, when you're a partnership. So I hope that helps. I hope that was kind of gives some clarity in some ways. Again, those are some questions we get asked a lot is, you know, when do we hire this? When should we think about this? You know, and this is kind of a rough path that you can expect on when it typically makes the most sense from what we see with our clients and people we've worked with over the last 6 years on when these hires make sense. And some people that jumped the gun a little early. But let me be clear, you know, we have some clients that have hired a project manager at $450,000 in revenue. And the expectation was for them to be a, you know, half project manager, half painter or something. And, you know, maybe the owner, you know, he was really focused on lifestyle design. He really wanted his business to serve his life. He loved painting 1 or 2 days a week and doing the estimates and running the company. Hated the project management. So we were able to figure out a way of like, hey, if we want to do this, we can do this. This is just what we need to do to make it work. And we did. So again, there's non-traditional ways in here that really throw this whole entire conversation off for certain situations, but it's all about making sure that you can make it work or what's the how-to ensure this works. So anyways, I hope that was helpful. I'm excited for some of the stuff we've got coming up here as we're kind of getting settled. My travel season's picking up with some Sherwin events. Check out our website and see if we have any events coming up near you. We'd love to meet you guys in person if we're going to be in the area with some of our upcoming events here the next couple of months. So with that being said, I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of the day. Reach out with any questions. As always, I'm always here for you guys here on any of our socials at Elite Business Advisors, or shoot me an email, chris@elitebusinessadvisors.com.
PaintEd podcasts are produced by the Painting Contractors Association and are made possible by members and industry partners. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org.